Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Of course, if you're just tuning in, this is the first time you have listened to this podcast. Well, welcome. This is simply a ministry that calls out. It's like a voice in the wilderness. That wilderness is America and her churches. To wake up from her lies that the enemy has implanted in her government, in her schools, in her businesses, in our families, and of course in our churches. This is called to the living true, a call to the living true biblical truth, the only truth that matters. That is that daily surrendering, that's that daily picking up a cross, picking up our cross and following Jesus Christ regardless of the outcome. This is part two. 2 weeks ago, I did part one. I wasn't able to finish typing the part two up last weekend. My wife, she was in the hospital. She's out of the hospital now, doing a little bit better, but still not fully recovered. She may end up back in the hospital. Please keep us in y'all's prayers on that. This is part two. And the title is, You Will Have Trials in This Life. The key passage for this sermon today is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But before we get into this, I just want to recap. And I want to first strongly encourage you, if you guys have not, to listen to part one, which was a few weeks ago. It'll be just below this one. In part one, I'm just going to skim over it. We looked at Daniel 3, 1 through 30. This is a long passage, but this passage deals with Nebuchadnezzar, who is king over Babylon. He has this huge statue of himself made, and he wants everybody to worship this statue and his gods. But you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who would not bend. They would not bend and conform to Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Because they worship the one true living God. And they would not compromise who they are, where they stand with their true living God. And this slapped a possible death sentence for most of our minds. It'd be a death sentence. They were sentenced to a fiery furnace. A furnace that was hot, that literally the men that were throwing them into the furnace was disintegrated. That's how hot it, you could just imagine how hot that open fiery furnace was. I don't know about you and, you know, or me or us, when we look at our life and we look at how we are supposed to stand for God. I don't know if you and me or us will ever have to experience the threat of physical death here in America. I have my thoughts on that. I believe those that are truly standing for Christ one day here in America will suffer possible physical death. But I can't say 100% on that, but that's a very strong conviction of mine. But if that ever came down to it, We should be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel 3:16-18 says this. He says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Meaning we're going to stand on truth here. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But here's the thing, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That is powerful. Alright. Now I'm going to say a few things that will draw most people away from this ministry. And honestly, it's just what it is. I do not center on the pre-trib. And I have many reasons why. If anybody wants to talk about it, or send me an email, and we can email back and forth on this. I'm really not going to go into details on this. I just believe in that the pre-trib is a lie from the pit of hell that majority of our churches, especially here in America, are clinging to, and they get dog fighting mad when I challenge it. The thing is, they can get dog fighting mad as much as they want. If they look at the deterioration of America, it is being set up right now for the one world government and one world religion, and for the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist of the end time, to show up. When he does show up, and there is no great rapture before the great troubles, it ain't gonna be about who's right or wrong. At that point, I pray that you are truly in the faith. Because guess what? It's going to cost you something now. If you're sitting there pretending to be something you're not, and God knows, you're calling yourself a Christian because it's so comfortable and it's just a thing to do. Everybody's doing it. When time comes for you to profess the true Jesus Christ of the Bible, and it could cost you your life, you will deny him because your heart was truly never in it. I want to tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their heart was truly in it. They knew they were about to face a possible death sentence, and they knew their God could deliver them. But if not, they still would not compromise who they stood for. That is the God Almighty. We need to prepare our minds. That's what I'm getting at. We need to prepare our mind, this mindset. See, in this life, we want comfortability. We want conveniency. We want all the things in this life that makes us happy. But I want to tell you, if you do not have Jesus Christ at the center of your life, you are not truly happy. True happiness, true joy only comes from Jesus Christ as the centerpiece of your life. But if you second, and you got all these material things of this world, when something happens bad in your life, you start to lose all these things. You want to start blaming everybody in the world. You want even to blame Jesus Christ. But in reality, you should be blamed for your own demise. We should not let those things hold us. The material things of this world is just what they are. They are material. The money that you can gain, the fame that you can gain, it's all irrelevant. Putting Jesus first regardless, not second. Do you strive to make the money of this world so you can have all the material things that you believe will make you happy? You need that nice home with the nice vehicles. One day, that will cost you more than missing a few Sundays at church or skipping your Bible reading, neglecting your prayer life, neglecting your family for weeks on end to gain that little trinket. For if the Lord calls you tonight, you will have to answer for the life that you led, putting Him second, putting this world first. If this doesn't cause conviction in your heart, this doesn't grieve your spirit, I want to tell you, you're not His. For the Holy Spirit convicts them that are His. And you're not feeling the conviction of this right now, there's something wrong with your heart. There's something wrong with your mind. It's just telling me that you're not His. You're a child of this world. You're a child of Satan. Your preacher will tell you that that's okay and you can compromise. You can keep doing this. And they will have to answer for those comments themselves. And last week, two weeks ago, we kind of looked at the first points of the first, second point of this series sermon. I'm just going to mention them real quick. Is first point is we can draw that our strength comes from the Lord when we are going through trials. And the second, we draw that our faith comes from the Lord when we're going through trials. And I didn't want to go into my third point here because I didn't want to cut it short. I try to keep these sermons down to an hour, but man, it's rough. Because the Holy Spirit just pours out and He wants to speak. I do not like to grieve. I don't try to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I know that an hour is a long time for most people to attain a lot of information. And I try to be respectful of that. But a lot of times these go over an hour. So our scripture reading today is in 1 Thessalonians 1, 7, verse 7. It says, "For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind." That is our scriptural key scripture point. When we look at this first part of this verse, it said, "For God had not given us the spirit of fear." Now we know that 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are called, or you may have heard them called, the pastoral epistles. And Paul was writing these epistles to Timothy and Titus, giving them detailed instructions about the local churches. But these instructions still apply today. And when we see this here where he says the spirit of fear, he's speaking of cowardice or timidness. I want to tell you, when we look at the four Gospels, when we look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you will see that Jesus Christ was not a coward. He was not timid. He was bold, and he would hit you straight, square in the eye with the truth, our eyes. And this is how we're supposed to be. We are supposed to model our lives after Jesus Christ. We're supposed to surrender to His will and His way and let the Holy Spirit move in our lives. I want to tell you, anything we experience in this life, one day it could be intense persecution for our belief here in America for standing up on biblical truths. If that's the case, you think it's bad now, you haven't seen nothing yet. I do not say this to scare you. I say this to warn you. That's my calling, is to warn. Because why? Most preachers and pastors, evangelists and Bible teachers, they are not warning. They are singing these smooth lullabies to their congregation. But when trouble hits, just like COVID did, what happens? They immediately, and I know in my area, almost every church shut down. Tell me where God's in that. When the government called our churches non-essential, where was the outcry? Oh, I outcried, all right. And I got criticized. But now they're like, there's a document going around on the internet. I can't remember. It's just I didn't write it down. But where it's saying we will not close our churches down. I pray it's Acts something. Acts 2. To sign that. I will encourage you. The government is not done with trying to deem the church as non-essential. That whole mess is sad, and a lot of people were shocked how many churches shut down because of it. I was not shocked. Because they're not operating in the Holy Spirit. They're operating in the spirit of this world. And when the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, shows up, it's going to be worse than that. I don't say this to comfort, to scare you though. I'm just warning you. This comfortable, lukewarm gospel that's being preached in majority of churches, especially here in America, will line up with the Antichrist of the end time. And who will be part of this, who will be part of this one world religion and one world government, those who stand up for truth and against his will experience intense persecution here in America. This old boy here, this simple preacher, will be persecuted. I don't expect many to stand on truth and to experience that. We all, they speak a good game. But they ain't seen nothing yet. If you get up in the pulpit and you're knowing what you're about to say. When you're speaking out against homosexuality. And now it's against the law to speak out against it. And you preach against it. And you know you will be arrested. Will you still stand on truth? I believe this will be one of many defining traits in the end time of those that are truly men of God. And those in the congregation that will stand with you are truly children of God. And those that will ostracize you, that will look down on you, we pray for their souls because they are damned. We pray for their repentance and turning from the God of this world to the true living God, Elohim, the maker of heaven and earth. I will not lie to you guys. I will lean on Scripture. I am human. I can misspeak. But I want to tell you I love you. I will warn you. And the truth can hurt. Biblical truth does hurt. But it doesn't change its truthful nature. In this life, we need to have the mindset as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Let's just read that again, guys. And if you're in your Bible, just take it and highlight that scripture. If you get anything out of this series, that scripture, Daniel 3:16-18. And, of course, read from Daniel 1 all the way down to the end and think about it. And if that, and then I encourage you to read the whole book of Daniel. It's a very... interesting read. But Daniel 3, verse 16 through 18 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in the manner. You can feel that boldness. They weren't pretending to be something they were not. If it be so, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And we know He can. He is God. He is Elohim. Elanaya. He is God Almighty. He will deliver us out. He can deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not, be it known to thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Oh, we should be that way. We need to stand on the biblical truth of homosexuality is a sin. Transgender is a sin. Abortion is a sin. Fornication is a sin. Idolatry is a sin. Where is the cry out of people living together that are not married? And if our churches is a sin, yes, it's just as an equal sin as homosexuality. It's sad to see that preachers even in their own families are having this go on, so they won't preach against it. They won't stand against it. I want to tell you, it is a sin. I speak of that in loving care because God has designed the family relationship, the marriage relationship for a reason. Don't defile it. He created marriage between a man and a woman. I'll tell you, there's pastors in Canada that's been thrown in jail for preaching on homosexuality. And I'll tell you, if it comes down here in America, how will you truly stand on God's word and not back down? That is a question for you. And I know this boldness, you will not hear it in the pulpit, especially here in America. Why? Because they already compromised already. They truly are ready to, if regardless of the indirectly or directly, they don't even realize it. They are ready to move into the Antichrist agenda. It will not be a huge step. Especially if they realize their pre-trib thoughts were wrong. And then it's going to get really real for them. They can get puffing mad and angry and spit at me or whatever. At that point, there will be a divining moment. Yeah, I was wrong. Uh-oh. Am I truly going to stand in the fire? Or if I'm going to say, yeah, no. Have I counted the costs of being a disciple for Jesus Christ? It could cost me my very freedom. I should be thrown in jail. And when I'm in jail, I'm not making no money. So I'm losing everything outside. All to lose everything is to gain for Christ. I won't tell you, many pastors here in America don't have that mindset. They're living on a cruise ship as rest of their Christian companions, drinking their margaritas or whatever, listening to their music and singing these hymns. I'm thinking not, I'm speaking of the hymns of Satan, not the hymns of God. Mark 8:34-38 says, And when he, that is Jesus Christ, had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus is presenting these questions, and we can present these same questions. It's very biblical within a sermon to present questions, because Jesus did it. He said, or what shall a man give to exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Right there we get Jesus Christ kicked out of most churches. Because when you're speaking of adultery, you're speaking of harlot. You're speaking of a nasty whore spreading her legs. Oh, don't get vulgar like that. I'll tell you, you people get all so up in heed when we're speaking of biblical truths. But man, they can go on Netflix and watch some garbage on TV and not even think about it. Even let their kids watch that garbage and don't even think about it. But the preacher starts talking about it. Oh, we don't want to hear that. But Jesus said, this adulterous, sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. That's the end game, guys. Luke 9:23-26 says, and he said unto them all, if any man shall come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gains the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his glory and his Father and all the holy angels. I'll tell you, take heed of God's word. If you are ashamed of him in this lifetime, then he will be ashamed of you. Do not think that. That you will not be called out. He will call you out. I mean, if you're afraid to live your life according to Scripture on a daily basis, not being weird, I'm not talking about being weird or beating people over the head with a Bible. I'm talking about you personally living your scriptures out in that world. Meaning I will not mingle and I will not compromise who I am in Christ. And they will know that. I will not vulgarly entertain conversations of filthiness. For God is holy. He calls for my holiness. That's a word, and you will not want people will you not hear too much, because the holiness is like a, it's sad to say, holiness is one of those words that everybody's trying to avoid. But God calls us to be holy. But we have a generation that wants to live in their sin and do whatever they want. And still claim to be Christian. It don't work that way. And just give one example here. Just self-love. 2 Timothy 3:1-4 has a lot of things going on. I'm just going to read a little bit of this. It says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That is self-love. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now when you look at the scripture, it starts out with perilous times, speaking of the last days, and we are living in those days. And it says there, and it begins in second, said, for man shall be lovers of their self. And then you can take that and you look, it ends with the same kind of thought as it started in verse 2. It ends up in verse 4. It says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There's a lot going on. But when we look at the world, What do you see? The lover of selves. It's sad within the church. You see the lover of self when your brother and sister is in need and you can help them, but you choose not to. You are loving yourself more than you are loving the body of Christ than your brother. God has blessed you with a means to help somebody else that is in need and you choose not to, then there is an issue with your heart. You're falling in the category here in 2 Timothy. You're loving yourself more than your brother or sister. If this is not grieving your spirit, there is something seriously wrong with your heart. It's far from God. Why? Because the love of God goes beyond ourselves. And I'm going to get a little bit more into that about the love of God. But if we love God as much as we love ourselves, the light of God would shine so bright in our lives. We would truly be that lighthouse on that hill shining out in that stormy sea to the many ships on the verge of crashing into the rocks and sinking into this deep watery abyss. Oh, I plead, oh brother. Oh, I plead, oh sister. I plead that your light shines brightly so others will notice that there is something different about you. But God does not give us the spirit of fear. We should stand regardless what it may cost us with that boldness. Not our boldness, but the boldness of the Holy Spirit that comes into each and every one of us as children of God. Remember, we are nothing without God. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in us. This Holy Spirit is the source of our power. The power of the Holy Spirit has not stopped. There are groups out there that said the Holy Spirit power does not apply today. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit applies. It applied at the beginning of the church in Acts, and it applies today. God did not say that His power would cease. Acts 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, and they placed were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke the word of God with boldness. That is power. There was that word boldness, right? The Holy Spirit came into their life. And when the Holy Spirit comes into their life, He provides that power to stand. Not by my power, but by His. But by His strength, not my strength. To stand in those things, in the challenges what we will face in this life for standing for His word. He provides that power to keep pressing on. We have to keep pressing on. Galatians 5, right? It speaks of walking in the Spirit and less in the flesh. And when we're doing this, it's a surrendering of our life to God every day. This is something we must do every day. For His will be done, not ours. We should seek to do His will every day. If it's just speaking to somebody at work about Jesus. If it's going to the gas station, you see somebody and you smile at them and you say, praise Jesus. Or you have a track in your car and you feel led to give somebody a track and tell them that Jesus loves you and I feel led to give this. It could be simply praying for somebody on the street. God will lead you. You will do His will. When we seek to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. His will be done. Because we are drawing closer to Him. More of Him. And less of me. Less of us. See, Satan does not know what to do with somebody operating in God's power. The other part of our core scripture here in Timothy. See, God has given us power, and God has given us love. And I was talking about bringing love back up into this, and I want, you know, when we look at love, and if you guys haven't picked up on this, all of this, the power of the love and the sound mind, all this is countering that spirit of fear from Satan. And as I was talking about self-love is not from God. It means you're evaluating yourself above God and others. This is what the world wants you to do. This is what the world esteems as true love. What can you do for me, me, me? You watch those romantic comedies on television, and I do like watching romantic comedies. Well, I can watch TV. I don't watch much TV. Too much studying I do. But when I do, I like to watch a little romantic comedies. And one thing about these romantic comedies, man, it's all about me, me, me. Sometimes it's about the girl wanting to be the center of attention. And sometimes it's about the guy being the center of attention. But then it might be both of them trying to be the center of attention that meet in the middle, and then and they find love and they live happy ever after. That's how the world views love. This is not biblical love. True love is seen in the gospel. But I want to tell you, this kind of self-love that we see in Hollywood is the love that majority of churches in America preach on, that endorses. They want a God that bends to their demands and their wants. They want a genie in the bottle so they can have all their wishes granted. And this is what sells for the gospel today here in America. This is what attracts the crowds. You don't believe me? Go. Go look at a Joel Osteen following. See how millions and billions of, and his ministry is growing. It is growing. Even though people like me point out that he is not biblical, he does not preach on the Word of God, he is still growing. That should tell you where we're at in the last days. People like Steve Furtick, ministry is growing. Ministries like mine, they don't grow that much. They may grow in when the Antichrist, but at that point in time, I'll probably be in jail. Hopefully, I'll still be alive and be able to preach in jail, and hopefully, I can get out and preach on the streets until they decide to throw me back in jail. But you don't really see that mindset today on preachers. They're living in a fantasy world. They're all aspiring to be like Joel Osteen or Steve Furtick. What can I say to make people happy? I want to tell you, we preach straight from the gospel, and all the other cars may fall where they need to fall. See, the love of God is different from the love of the world. And I'm not going to go deep in the Greek and the Hebrew breakdown of this word love. And today, the internet is fast. You can type in the Greek meaning of love, and it will give you. And you can type in the Greek meaning or the Hebrew meaning of love. And of course, I broke these down in our time. Try and keep this to an hour. I know I'm already going to go over it, so I'm not going to break it down. But what I want, the Greek I want here is agape. That's agape love. And of course, I'm going to simplify this. This is a sacrificial love. Simply putting someone's knees over yours. And of course, you can do your own research and you can get into more technical and do your own Bible study. But this love best describes true love. demonstrated at the cross. For God so loved the world, this whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That was his only Son, born of a Virgin Mary, given to a world that would utterly kill him. Jesus Christ had nothing but love, but he did not compromise. He stood on truth, and he got him killed. He was crucified, but we know that he had to be. For the Old Testament prophets pointed to that. For out the shedding of blood there is no remission, right? No forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9. John the Baptist says, here's the Lamb. He take away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. The one that had no sin, that was blameless, unblemished, the ultimate sacrifice. He did not deserve the cross and death. We did. We stand guilty before a holy and righteous God, and we deserve everlasting torment, hell, as we most commonly refer to it. A place of torment forever. The flames will be going on forever, and we will be tormented for the rest of our lives if we do not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. By that cross, he had to die. For Jesus Christ, his blood had to run red. The atonement had to be done. He tells each and every one of us, we do not have to go to this place of hell. I am here to rescue you. Jesus Christ is here and he's calling out to you. I want to rescue you. The question is, do you want to be rescued from your life? Do you want to be rescued from your life of sin? Or do you love your sin too much? You could care less about being rescued from it. Oh, how you want to live in it and wallow in it like a pig in mud, enjoying it every bit of it. Oh, when your day is done on this earth and hell reaches out from the ground and drags you to the pit. Oh, no more chances you will have. So the wailing and screaming and the gnashing of your teeth. You need to get real. If you want to hold on to this old life and call yourself a Christian, you are not. If you do not want to crucify the flesh and surrender your life daily, you are not. Oh, how preachers will tell you that you're just growing. Oh, how they want to lie to you. Oh, I want to tell you, it is a struggle. It is a part of the sanctification process. But we should never strive to want to live in that old life. Because why? The Holy Spirit has renewed us. He has regenerated us. We are not who we used to be. Yes, we will struggle, and that's part of the walk with Jesus Christ, because our flesh will always want to go the opposite direction. But the Holy Spirit will put the hooks in us and he will drag us back where we need to be. Oh, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. It drives you to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. You know, I'm just going to read Galatians. This goes over hours, fine. You don't have to listen to me no more. Galatians 5:16-26 says, then I say, then walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, or to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And these are the sin. One area where it's clearly written of what sin is. Adultery. fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It's amazing when you hear preachers preach, they will not specifically start stating sin. They probably won't keep their jobs, that's why. Idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revealing such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it gives us the counter to this. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is this, love. And there is that love again, that is agape, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And here it is again about the crucifixion. And they said that, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lusts. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one envy one another. See, our life is supposed to be different, guys. If you do not want to change, you can call yourself Christian all day until you're blue in the face. And you will not like this. And you may call me names, but here's the reality. You're not hurting me. When I die, today could be my last day on this earth. I will be with my Jesus. He knows who is truly His. And all this pretending going on, I don't fully get it. I don't care much for pretending. I'm the kind of person, you see what you get. Faking stuff, I can't relate to that. What you see, Jonathan, is what you get. No double lives. No double agent. Oh, I'm going to look like this in the pulpit, and then afterwards I'm something different. My love for Christ is stronger than the love for this world. Now I cry over the world, and I cry over those that God knows are pretending to be something they're not. Because in the end, they're hurting themselves. When death comes, physical death comes, and you're looking at God, heaven or hell is your options. You will be sentenced to one or the other, not because God is not good. It's because He is good, and He honors your choice. He honors your life that you pretend for years and years and maybe decades of who you're not. And you're hurting yourself. I want to tell you today, repent. Repent before it's too late. You may not choose to listen to this man of God that He has placed in your life, that wants to point you to Scripture. And you may decide to go your own way and go with those that will tell you comfortable lies. You will receive hell. But if you heed the word of God and turn to truth and away from this world and say, Lord, forgive me. I lay this life down at your feet. Make me into the disciple you needed me to be. Oh, my heart, let it yearn and beat for you. That repentance, that turning. Oh, I want to be a disciple for you. Oh, I give it all away, God, just to worship you and to praise you. Oh, let my life be volumes. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit burn throughout me. Let my light be so bright those are attracted to me. God will hear you, and God will direct you in that path that leads to everlasting life. You know, when we get this mindset, this is what that last part is. God gives a sound mind. If you just think of a sound mind, what do you think of? I think of a peace of mind, a mind when everything is falling apart, you remain calm and stand your ground. But here's the catch. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own strength. No, not our own strength, but the strength of God that lives in us through the Holy Spirit. Mark 5, let me flip to that. Mark 5, 36. And I love referencing this, I just love scripture. If you follow this, you will know that I love scripture. It's the only thing, honestly, that keeps me going. While falling apart, without it, I couldn't survive. It's a lifeline for me. I just can see how people cannot study God's word hours upon hours a day. I just don't get it. Let me flip to it. Instead of going to Mark, I went to Matthew. Don't want to go in those scriptures. We'll be here for another 3-4 hours. But Mark 5:36 through 40 says, "And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, 'Be not afraid, only believe.'" And I do not believe that's the passage I'm looking for. Nope. The passage, I actually wrote it down wrong, is dealing with the disciples. They're in a boat and they encounter a storm. And this storm, Jesus is right there in the boat with them in this storm. I found it. Mark 4. Mark 4. Mark 4, 35. Let's read that down. It says, "And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, 'Let us pass over to the other side.' And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves that beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he, speaking of Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, and he was asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, 'Master, carest thou that we perish?' And he rose and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, 'Peace, be still.' The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, 'Why are ye so fearful? How is that ye have no faith?' And they fear exceedingly, saying one another, 'What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?' I love this account of Jesus Christ and his disciples. See, the disciples were with Jesus right here, and they were encountering a physical storm that sparked a spiritual storm. Physical storms like hurricanes and tropical storms and tornadoes and thunderstorms, they can cause an internal turmoil. If you ever been in a hurricane or experienced a tornado, you know there's an internal struggle there. The anxiety can kick in. The depression can kick in. The fear, right, can kick in. Of course, the fear in this passage is different than the fear we were speaking of in Timothy. This right here is speaking of a phobia. And if you think of phobia, you may think of arachnophobia, that's the fear of spiders, and I mean, there's all kind of phobias for a ton of things. They were experiencing this fear that was gripping them. It was affecting their peace of mind. It was affecting their sound mind. And it's easy for that to happen. I can speak personally. My wife being in the hospital last week, this weekend, she may have to go back into the hospital. It affects my mind, it affects my body. I love her so much, and I don't want her to experience what she's going through. Of course, I pray for her, and I seek God for her. And ultimately, I got to hand it off, and God'll do His thing. He's working something through it. I don't know, but it's painful. That physical storm can cause all kind of internal, spiritual storms in my mind. And of course, my car's having problems on top of that, and I need a new transmission. I'm trying to get another car ready, running. And it seems if you look around, and people know that you're needing help, but you don't see many out there trying to help you. Now, I'm not throwing nobody on the bus. I'm just saying this is, it's one of those things. Maybe the Lord just wants us to walk through this by ourselves. I don't know. But these physical storms in life, they can create these spiritual storms, this anxiety, this depression, this hopelessness. And all this contributes to pulling into a sea of darkness that can affect your peace of mind. And it did affect their peace of mind. And yes, it has affected my peace of mind to all level, but I am clinging to God within that. And within that clinging to Him, I do get a clearer mindset than I would if I did not have Him. I know my strength will fail. I know His strength will never fail. Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Christ is the one that strengthens us through this life. Everything that we'll experience, and this can be what I'm talking about with my situation, and this can even be with the intense persecution of standing for God's word, which in third world countries, they're already experiencing that persecution. Don't believe me, go look. It won't be very hard for America to feel that level of persecution, I promise you. We're right there on the cliff. But I know when I'm going through things, I do not do it through my own strength. I do it through the strength of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. A few more scriptures in Philippians 4:6-7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and here and minds through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. We should be men and women of prayer. Men and women of supplication with thanksgiving every day. And when we are, I'm speaking from what I'm going through, of things I've gone through in my life. I don't get everything right. We get our mind right in having that mind of Christ. And when we start understanding that part, we receive that peace, that sound mind that the scripture speaks to us. Meaning when we're going through storms, be it be persecution or just things in life, with sickness. We know that God got this one way or the other, and we have that faith that He will see us through it, wherever it may, what we may be facing. And I want to ask you, how's your prayer life? I pray that it's on fire, because if it is, your mind and heart is lined with God every day. Start your day out with prayer. Continue that prayer throughout the day. End the day with prayer. I have preached specifically on prayer. And I'm thinking about eventually doing another prayer preaching series, which I'm still working on the spiritual warfare series I was wanting to do. A lot of things I want to preach on. I'm just getting down, and I try to do a lot of studying, a lot of reading, a lot of praying before I preach on things. Because ultimately the Holy Spirit drives the message, not me. I do my diligence in studying, but ultimately the Holy Spirit drives the rest of it. But I've done specific sermons on prayer, and I mean, they may be in the archives. I don't know, they're somewhere. You can look at those. But prayer is highly important to our lives. To be men and women of prayer. Not saying these superficial prayers. You say five minutes of prayer a day, and then you're done, and then you go out and you do whatever in this world that you feel like doing. No. I'm talking about travailing for hours. You may sound too busy. Well, then the devil already has you in his grip. And I pray that the Holy Spirit breaks it. Whatever means is necessary. If He has to shatter your life completely, so be it. Because busy is what the devil does. And I'm sure that busy is B-U-S-Y. A brother in Christ told me that one time. He's gone to see the Lord now. He said busy is being under Satan's yoke. If you're too busy to pray, if you're too busy to study God's Word, if you're too busy to have fellowship with your brothers and sisters at least one day of the week on Sunday, you're too busy. I encourage you to do more, because iron sharpens iron, right? And I pray that you have, if you do go to church, you have a man who speaks truth, and he doesn't counter God's Word, but validates God's Word with everything He says. And if he needs correction, correct him. Because we are supposed to be students of God's Word. And that man can say things misleading. I can say things misleading. I am human. And if he doesn't heed straight scripture, leave that church. And then warn others about him. In closing, two-part sermon here, so I encourage you guys to go back, listen to part one. You will not get the full impact of this sermons unless you listen to part one and part two. But we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I kind of talked a little bit more about that at the very beginning of this sermon. And I pointed out Daniel 3, 16 through 18. And I encourage you guys to mark that in your Bible. I encourage you to read through the whole historical account. And put yourself in that situation as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As they said in Daniel 3, 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered the king and said, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." They knew this world was not their home. They were just passing through. We need this mindset as children of God. The fire of life can burn, but we know in the end, this life is temporary. You see, their faith here is extraordinary. I do not know if any of us will have to face a physical death or being thrown into a blazing fire. Physical fire. Now, if you die without Jesus, you will be thrown into hell, which is will be inflamed. But they were standing for truth here. We are supposed to stand for truth. If you had to face ultimate physical death for standing for truth, would you? If you're struggling with just going to church on Sunday, you'll have your answer already. See, we will face fires, these fiery trials in life, and how we deal with them is important. When it comes to faith in Jesus Christ and those who will question us about it, we should stand strong in those situations. Not operating in the spirit of fear, right? Cowardness, timidness. No, we should be bold by the Holy Spirit to tell that individual that God has placed in our lives of the gospel, regardless of the cost. If it's at work, if it's at school, if it's at a business meeting, it's among families, family or friends, whatever it may look like, when God calls us to be bold, let's stand. When others are questioning our God or trying to make us bow down to their gods of this world, we should stand firm. Firm in the power. Firm in the love. Firm in the sound mind. Understand, don't be deceived. America is moving faster and faster away from God and biblical truth. I believe you and those that are truly His will be called one day to respond. And this will cost us something. Maybe it'll be our freedom. Maybe our life. But we should be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We should not lose our strength, because what? Our strength comes from the Lord. We should not lose our faith, because why? Our faith comes from the Lord. And we should not operate in a spirit of fear, because the fear comes from Satan. And we are not his child. We are the child of the living God. And we will stand with boldness, regardless of the consequences that this life may hold for us, for being the children that God has called us to be. We need to stand straight up and look at our enemies in the eyes and tell them that God can deliver us. But if he don't, that's okay, because this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. And we will not do this in our own strength. We will do this in the strength above the God Almighty, knowing that he will welcome us home with open arms. The same God that they served, that Shadrach, Meshach served in the Old Testament, is the same God that we are serving. Let's not lose sight of that. Let's not lose sight that our strength comes from the Lord. Let's not lose sight that our power comes from the Lord. The love, true, unconditional, sacrificial love. A love that is not self-centered. A love that reaches out to our brothers and sisters in need, because the Lord has blessed us to be able to help them out. Oh, I guarantee you, you can look in your if you go to church in your community or within you, you can see people hurting and you have the opportunity to help them, but you choose not to. There's knees. I promise you. Are you looking? Are you drawing your strength from the Lord more than yourself? Is the strength that you're drawing, is it from the Lord or from yourself? If you're drawing it from the Lord, there will be that power, that love, that agape and a sound mind. If you're not drawing your strength from the Lord, and you're doing it in your own power, you will experience this spirit of fear in your life. The only one that can answer that, of course, is you. I don't know, but God knows. If you still have breath in your lungs, you can change today. I promise you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can change. He will direct you. He will guide your life to look more like Jesus and less like yourself. I pray that you realize the urgency of this message. And you take heed to this message within your life. And as Jesus Christ, to make that change that you so desperately need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Lord, I pray those that made it through this whole sermon, they go back over the scriptures. They do not take my word for it, because you are centered. They look at the scripture. They let the scripture guide them. Within the scripture, there is power. If they choose not to recognize scripture, they choose not to recognize the error of their ways, and they choose to keep going the path they have chosen, they can call themselves Christian all the way to the very end. But if it does not line up with Scripture, then they have fooled themselves. They have allowed Satan to put the blinders on their eyes. And I pray, Lord, they are removed before it's too late. They are rattled and shaken one way or the other by the gospel, that they truly seek to be rescued from this life. They choose to be different, not lining with this world. Sin disgusts them. They want more of you. They seek more of you. They cannot get enough prayer time or studying your word or fellowshipping with their brothers and sisters every time the doors are open, encouraging more activities in the community to reach out to those desperately in need. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of the night, or if you're listening to the morning, a rest of good day. Hopefully your weekend went well. If this the weekend, or if it's just the week, sometime during the week. Stay strong. Study God's word. Till we see again. Bye.